In this episode of The Cole Memo, I sit down with Kay Jones, who you might know as Jungle Kay. Kay joins me on the show to tell us about his experience with the continued criminalization of cannabis.
So in January, I was pulled over, in which police found me in possession of about 4.5 grams of cannabis, which they cited me for, meaning I had to show up to court today. And I paid about $500 for 4.5 grams that I was not smoking because it was sealed in my center console versus my trunk. I say all this to say that as legal as cannabis has become in Illinois, there's still a long ways to go, and there's still a lot of brushing up that we can all do to make sure that we protect ourselves from situations like this. So that's all. Maybe I'll talk about it more later, but that's all for now.
In today's episode, Kay will be telling his story. Unfortunately, this isn't the first time I've heard a story like this. If you'd like to see the stories I've gathered so far, I'm constantly asking myself, if cannabis is legal in Illinois, why are people getting arrested and being sent through the court system? If you're wondering the same thing and you'd like to hear more of these stories, go to thecolememo.com/isitlegal. Because I'm constantly wondering, is it legal? thecolememo.com/isitlegal to see more stories like these. This is The Cole Memo. I'm your host, Cole Preston. Every episode is released in audio, video, and transcript format. To find the transcript, audio, or video version of any episode, please refer to the description of the episode that you're listening to now. Within that description, you should be able to find a link that will take you to our website, which will display the transcript for this episode and the platforms where you can find this episode in audio or video formats. If you're unable to locate the episode description on whichever platform you're listening from, simply take note of the episode number and visit thecolememo.com. From there, you can find the corresponding episode, and then you'll be able to access the audio, video, and transcript version of that episode. You might also find any links that we reference during the episode so that you might be able to do your own research or connect with awesome Chilinoyans like Jungle K. If you're not listening to this episode of The Cole Memo on Patreon, then you're listening to this episode later than our patrons. To become a patron, go to thecolememo.com/Patreon. Our show is brought to you by listeners like you, and it only costs $3 a month to become a member of our Patreon page. It allows you to get instant access to our episodes as they release. Another great way to support our show is by going to thecolememo.com/support. You can make a one-time, monthly, or yearly contribution of your choice. That's right. You could donate $1 once monthly, which would be $12 a year. Every little bit counts. It costs a lot to do this show, from hosting to licensing fees to equipment to travel and so much more. If you're able to support our show financially, that would be greatly appreciated. But one of the best ways to support our show is absolutely free. Subscribe to or follow our show. Leave us a positive review from wherever you're listening to us from. Favorite this episode, give it a thumbs up. Leave a comment or share it with your uncle. Your engagement and support is appreciated. Today is March 21st, 2024. Enjoy this episode of The Cole Memo. Kay, I'm happy that I'm speaking with you from the comfort of your home, as opposed to you calling me from a jail cell right now. Before we get into that, I want you to finish up that dab and then tell us where we can find you online and who you are, my friend.
Absolutely. What's going on, world? I go by the name of Jungle K online. That's spelled Jungle C-A-E. I'm a cannabis educator, content creator. Just rocking out and vibing, man.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. One of the best in the space, I must say. So folks, if you're looking to learn more about cannabis, Jungle K is the way to go. We'll have links to Jungle K's socials in the podcast description. As always, definitely give them a follow, support your local Chilinoyans. And I mean, just check out all the great content. There's so much to learn. And K, you're constantly doing that. That's why I don't know if you saw, but I recently tagged you. There was a really popular weed account and they were looking for weed educators, and I was like, Jungle K, baby, Jungle K all the way.
Oh yeah, man. So, much love, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, I had to give you that plug at the start, and I just teased our audience. I want to give you the space, dude. You made a story yesterday. We've been talking about this for a while now. I want to give you the space to tell your story.
All right, man. Well, some of y'all might have seen from the story I posted recently. That was a small dive into the larger story at hand. So this happened yesterday. I'm just gonna try and recollect the memory as fully as I can. So if you're rolling some weed, if you're packing a dab, buckle up. This is a ride, all right? Let me just start by saying this happened in January. And January 18th was an unfortunate day, not just because that was the day that I got pulled over, but it was a really, really cold day in Chicago. I don't know if y'all remember, but it was like sub-zero, it might have been. Maybe not sub-zero, but the wind chill was really, really bad. Like it was just advised that people weren't supposed to go out. And I live over a storefront, and the storefront happened to experience a burst pipe. And that burst pipe caused the water in my building to be shut off for the entire day. And we had no knowledge of this. You know what I'm saying? I work from home. I gotta use the bathroom. I gotta take a shower. I gotta cook. You know what I mean? I can't stay here. So what do? I book a hotel stay at my favorite hotel in the world out in Oak Brook. That's the only reason I'm out there. Okay. So we are coming from a restaurant. I say we, me and my partners, we are leaving from a restaurant in this snowstorm. It's about midnight, right? And it's really snowy. I just bought a new car. I'm from upstate New York. I'm used to the snow. I'm used to snowy parking lots. So what am I thinking I would love to do in the mall? Maybe skirt around a little bit. I know it's not the responsible thing to do, you know what I'm saying? And as I look around and I see a few security cars and a one, two police cars, I'm like, okay, definitely not gonna do that. All right. So we leave. Only car in the parking lot, only car on the road. Not like maybe 2, 3 minutes after we leave from the mall parking lot and get on the highway, lights go off. And I'm thinking, okay, that's weird. Wonder what's going on. So we get pulled over. Officer goes, "You know I pulled you over?" I go, "No." He goes, "Yeah, it was really hard to read your plate." And I'm like, it's really hard to read my plate in a snowstorm. This is what I'm thinking like now, you know what I'm saying? But at the time I'm like, oh yeah, I definitely didn't brush off the car. You know, it was a temporary plate, so it was in my rear windshield. And snow was covering it for sure, but that was you gonna pull me over for? All right, cool. This is your car. Da, 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 da. Yeah, it sure is. Give you this paperwork. Give you this paperwork. Cool. Yeah, smells a little interesting in here. I'm like, oh, not really. You know, I'm not really sure what you mean. You know, do you mind if you roll down the back window? Rolls down the back window. There might have been like some residual clouds in the air, you know what I'm saying? Maybe from pre or post restaurant early in the day, what have you. Officer comments on it, right? Okay, that's interesting. Do y'all have any cannabis in the car with you? I sure do. I sure do, officer. It's sealed right here in my center console. Don't have access to it, you know what I mean? They're in resealable, odor-proof containers. I absolutely do have some. It's about between 3 and 5 grams. I'll say 3 and 7 grams confidently because I don't want to undershoot and tell y'all, you know what I'm saying, something that may not be the case. He goes, okay, well, we're gonna pull y'all out, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's gonna get out the car and we're gonna search y'all. Body searches. All three of us, me and my two partners, side of the highway, January, blizzard, midnight, after a telling, bro. I don't have anything else. Y'all don't have any of the flour in the car? No. So if you we're not gonna find anything else in here, because if you find something else in here, it's gonna be an issue. Okay. As they're searching the car, you know what I'm saying? Other officers asking me, yeah, so where'd you buy this car? Indiana. Yeah, where in Indiana? Indianapolis Motorsports on XLIZ Road, if it really matters to you. Okay, and you live there now? No, I live on the address that's on my license. Oh, okay, so you live in Chicago. Yeah. All right, so you don't have anything on you that's gonna, you know, hurt me or anything like that. I know they're obligated to ask that, but I'm like, bro, we are literally just trying to go to the hotel. Like, it is 2 minutes away from the restaurant that we just ate at. That's all. So searches all three of us, you know what I'm saying? Pulls the flower out. We go back, we sit in the car, and we sit in the car for a while. This is a mind game that I learned they play, bro. We don't sit for 5 minutes. We don't sit for 10 minutes. We sat for maybe like 15 to 17 minutes after they pull the flower out of the car. And, you know, I'm the only one whose ID they pulled, because they kept asking. They're like, well, whose flower is it? Whose flower is it? Whose flower is it? Honestly, they were gifts. I didn't purchase them. They were given to me. They were gifts. And the three of us are like, I mean, it's all of ours. We're roommates. We all go in on it. I don't know what you want us to say. We're not trying to lie. And also, it's like 3 to 4 grams. Like, what are we really talking about here? So yeah, after they, well, not even after they come back, I'm like, they really don't have anything that they can pull. Like, I know I don't have anything on my record. I mean, I didn't run a red light or anything like that. Sure, I didn't brush off my car, but we weren't even smoking in here. The flower is sealed. It was sealed. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't in the trunk, but why wasn't it in the trunk? Because I drive an SUV. The trunk is readily accessible. I could reach back and be in my trunk. You know what I'm saying? So even if it was in my trunk, who's to say that an officer's not going to think like, oh, he just threw it back here as soon as we went over. So finally comes back and he goes, yeah, okay, so we're gonna give you the citation here. It's for unlawful possession of cannabis by a driver. And yeah, you can see it for the court date on there. It'll let you know, yada, yada, yada. And I've never gotten any kind of ticket like this or violation like this. So I'm thinking like court date, like I can't just like pay this off, like whatever kind of fee this is or whatever. And I look at it, the original date is the day after my birthday. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm definitely not gonna do it on this date. Like, so what's good with that? Because I'm straight up not available. Like, I'm not coming. So what are we gonna do about that? He's like, well, you can contact the court and they'll give you a continuous. You can pick a different date. Da, 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 da. So did that. And I'm like, all right, cool. Thankfully, didn't take the car. Thankfully, didn't take anybody to jail. You know what I'm saying? Those are blessings. But I go to the hotel and I look at this ticket. You know what I'm saying? This is a different ticket. This isn't just like a orange parking ticket that you get. You know what I'm saying? It looks different. It looks kind of official. I wish I might have it on. Give me 1 second. All right. You see, this shit looks for real. Okay, you got like a whole violation on here. Against the local ordinance, yeah, nature of offense, unlawful possession of cannabis by a driver. It doesn't say how much is on here. It doesn't say whether or not I was smoking on here. That's all that it says. So I go and I look up this violation, right? This charge, and I'm like, okay, what do I need to do to handle this? I understand that I have to go to a court date, but like, what does that mean? And I'm looking at it, and all I'm seeing is like defense attorney ads, like hit us up before you go to jail because you're going to fucking jail. You're going to jail tomorrow and you need us right now. So call us now because it's free. Don't worry about it. We'll talk about that later. But you're going to jail, so don't worry about it. Okay. And I'm like, I'm going to jail. What are we talking about? This is when I find out that this violation is a class A misdemeanor, punishable by up to $2,500 and a year in jail for 10 grams or less. Generally.
Just if I could add really quick,
Yeah.
Class A misdemeanors are equivalent from the attorneys I've spoken to. You can get a Class A misdemeanor for domestic violence. So seems equivalent, right?
For
That was a joke, by the way.
listen, listen, listen. It's so crazy. For not smoking, but having cannabis in your possession in anywhere other than your trunk. Meaning if it was in your back seat versus your trunk, that is a misdemeanor versus you walking free. That is court fees, attorney fees versus you walking free. That is something on your record versus you going free. The difference in a few feet within your own vehicle. I thought that was crazy. I thought that was crazy. So it starts to sink in a little bit, and I'm like, oh, I kind of have a situation on my hands. I need to kind of figure this out. And I think that was when I started to contact you, and I was like, yo, like, do you know anything about this? Like, this just happened. Like, what do I need to do? And you're like, okay, I got you, bro. Like, hit up these attorneys, you know what I'm saying? We'll get the process rolling. And then I started to learn a little bit about it. But the next wave of like intimidation didn't come until like a week or two later, when I wasn't seeing defense attorney ads, but I was getting defense attorney mail flooded to me, flooded to me. I was getting like five to six a day, and I'm like, how did they even get my address? Like, how is this possible? My address, and this is before I even get an official court notice that I have a court date, right? And so I look up how defense attorneys are able to get, you know, addresses like that. And it turns out that they have made deals with police departments across the country, you know, wherever you're at, to buy that information that goes into police databases as soon as it happens. So the second that you get cited with this, you're about to get flooded with mail that's like, oh, okay, well, you know, you need help defending your arrest, or do you need help not going to jail? XYZ, contact us. And ultimately, like, I'm thankful that I didn't employ any of them, and I was able to handle this on my own with
Yeah.
some guidance. But there are a lot of people who probably would have taken up those offers and gotten themselves in a worse financial place doing so, you know? So
Right.
it's so many layers to like how this. The difference in a few feet within your own vehicle can really rock your worldview. You know what I'm saying? I've never experienced anything with the judicial system. This was my first run-in, you know? So eventually I get in contact with a family friend who has been a defense attorney, you know, and has given me some good guidance. And he gets on the phone with me. And he's like, hey, like, you know, what's going on? Like, let me know the deal. I'm like, yeah, so got possession of cannabis, this is, and then he goes, possession of cannabis? It's not even a jailable offense. Where did you get pulled over? I was like, yeah, I got pulled over right out of Cook County. I'm like, okay, I hear you, but that's not a jailable offense. You definitely shouldn't worry anything about it. It's probably just gonna be a fine. But I'm surprised that this is even going down like this. So you should be good. Go ahead and go forward. So I got that information, and I at least felt a little bit more comforted, you know, because that is what a few people were telling me. I did have some people that were like, you know, you should definitely get some kind of representation. But, you know, everybody's got to do what is right for their own situation. And ultimately, I had felt like I had done nothing wrong. Okay. I didn't bring it up at the time because I wasn't registered at the time. My registration had expired. But as of now, I'm a registered medical patient. You know what I mean? And that is what I was going to present to whoever I needed to present it to and be like, is this like really the protocol for how we handle this all the time? Yeah. So going forward, I think from there, because there really wasn't a whole lot of development, man, that's a whole nother part of it. Like,
Just waiting.
you. The waiting. You want to be done with it so bad. You want to be through with the whole situation so bad. And there's nothing that you can really do outside of like sit and really deal with everything that's going on. And yeah, you just gotta wait. It's crazy. And so my original date was the 21st of February. My date got pushed to yesterday, March 20th, right? So the very first piece of advice I got was don't get caught with weed in your car between now and your court date, right? So that's already a solid 2 month period that I gotta be extra on my toes. Yeah, there was just a lot of like waiting and dealing with this, like, yo, are they really gonna try and take me to jail over this shit? Like, is this just going to be like an exorbitant fine? Like, I'd be grateful if it is, but the possi like even the possibility of going to jail for simple possession in a legal state as a medical patient was blowing my mind. Blowing my mind.
Right. Well, and especially, I don't mean to say that you would ever pull this card, but you could be like, do you even know who I am? You know what I
it's
mean?
like,
It's like pulling over, like it's literally almost like pulling over Snoop Dogg. Like you're one of our like cannabis icons in Illinois. So it's like when
much
to,
love, man. No, it's so funny because one of the, I'll get to it eventually, but one of the things that the prosecution was offering me was like, and you don't have to do the cannabis education course. And I just laughed in my head.
Bro, I
Was
could
like,
teach
oh
you.
no. Cannabis education.
Right.
Oh man. So I think that about brings us to yesterday, the day of, because like I said, it was just unfortunately a lot of waiting, and that's a whole nother like mind game that they really play with you with. And so I put on my Sunday best, you know what I'm saying? I pull up in a suit, and it's so funny. I try and pick up on all the little things, you know what I'm saying? There's a couple police officers that are, you know, checking everybody in. There's one lady in front of me. You know, she gets the good morning. All right, you can just set your stuff here, and then yada da da, go through here. All right, cool. Nobody else in the building. I don't get the good morning. I'm like, that's fine. But you know what I do get? You know, thanks for wearing a suit. You know, nobody wears a suit these days. They pull up in pajamas, yada da. I was like, why wouldn't I pull up in a suit? I usually wear suits. I wear suits every day, so. They didn't say anything after that. And so I walked into my hearing. There was maybe like, there was a decent amount of people there. There was probably like 15 other people there at first. And I didn't really know who I was there for what, but I figured most of it was for traffic violations because it was traffic court. And that's what most of them were. It was literally like a line of like 7 to 10 people that stood up at first, and all of them had pretty much the same thing. And they just ran down the line, and everybody pretty much walked away after getting their paperwork, and it was good to go.
Wait, they had the same thing, like the same charge?
Not the same charge, but like they had like some low-level thing that was easily like judgeable or dismissible or whatever the case was, because it only took maybe like 2 minutes for each person that was actually standing up there to be done and
Gotcha.
actually walk out.
But nothing
You know,
cannabis related?
no, not at this point.
Okay.
And so I'm like, oh, this is a really quick process. I don't know if there's like an additional process after they leave here or what, because it was flowing like relatively quickly. And then it started to go a little bit slower, you know what I'm saying? I don't know the flow of court or anything like that. Like, I'm literally figuring this out for the first time. And so you look over in the corner, there's like a couple police officers sitting over there. I'm looking, the dude that pulled me over and the people from his team were not there. I knew that for a fact. Then there was the county clerk and the judge, and then there was two lawyers over here, and I learned that there was a prosecution, right? And so time goes by. I'm one of the last people in that motherfucker, you know? And I'm like, okay, they're probably saving it, obviously, because this is some different shit. And one of the officers from the check-in, he walks up to me, he goes, yeah, you're here for a traffic violation, right? I'm like, no. He's like, okay, well, yeah, you can probably just go up there and wait. Da-da-da-da. And so I get up and then I go and wait, and I'm thinking, okay, is this it? Shit. Okay, we're started already. And eventually I get called up, judge goes, approach, please. And I'm like, hello. She goes, good morning. What's your last name? Jones. Okay, this is a class A misdemeanor, punishable by up to 2,500 and a year in jail. Would you like to plead guilty, not guilty, or there's something else? She literally just got into it that quick. I was like, I didn't say but in my head I was like, I plead not guilty. And keep in mind, she's looking at her computer and she stopped and she looks up at me for a second. Like kind of confused, kind of bewildered. And then she was like, okay, well then we'll start to look for a court date for your officer. And then she asked one of the prosecution attorneys, she's like, when is officer blah da da da? I know his name, but I probably shouldn't say it. When is officer blah da 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 available? And one of the attorneys, the male attorney, goes, yeah, he's available April 17, April 7, and he didn't get to finish the dates because the other, the woman prosecutor, started to interrupt him and kind of shush him and talk to the judge directly, right? And I didn't really hear what she said, but the judge goes, "Okay, we're gonna pass on this for a second." And I'm like, "Okay." She's like, "Yeah, you can go sit down." And as I'm walking away, she was like, "Yeah, are we gonna pass this for the pile or for the debt, or like what's going on?" And then I didn't really hear it until I came and sat back down. So by the time that I sat back down, I turned around and prosecution was already walking over to the police, right? So she goes over and she's talking to the police officers for, I don't know, a couple minutes, maybe they're in a huddle. And I don't try and pay attention intentionally, you know what I mean? Because I'm just trying to like look as chill as possible. Like, I'm just here doing my thing, you know what I mean? Whatever y'all need me to do, like, fine. And so she walks up and she goes, "Hi, okay. I'm the prosecution. You don't have to talk to me if you don't want to. But if you were to plead guilty today, we could get your fee down to $200, and then there would be the additional court fees of the $300, and we can't really waive that. And there will also be 3 months court supervision, but you would be waiving the cannabis education course and stuff like that, and we wouldn't have to go to trial, you know?" And I'm thinking like, "Okay, well, when is the trial date?" And she goes, "Oh, we can do it right now." And I'm like, it didn't go off in my head right then, but I knew that it was kind of weird that she was like, "Do it right now." And I was like, "Can I take a second? Like, I think I'm gonna go like get on the phone real quick." And she was like, "Oh yeah, take your time." But now that I'm thinking back on it, I'm like, "Do it right now. Wouldn't there need to be a jury present?" There was no
Right.
jury present. There was nobody else in the courtroom. It was the prosecution, it was the police, it was the court, the judge, and nobody else in the room. And from what I remember, she was like, "And you could take it to trial if you want to, and you have to convince a jury beyond reasonable doubt that you didn't do this." And so how would it make sense that they would take it to court right then and there without a jury, right? So this is something that, again, I didn't think about it until now. I'm thinking about it. I go and get on the phone with dude who told me not to worry about it, right? Got to seal the joint. And
You know the words, people. Spark up if you got them.
hell yeah, no, it's about that time. Yeah, I'm gonna get right into this shit.
Hell yeah. I appreciate you coming on, man, and talking about this. I
Bro,
think
of
it's
course.
important
No,
for
thank
other
you for
people to hear
having
about
me.
this. So.
I realized that like this is such an easy situation to get caught in, and people
Yes.
need to know about this to be able to avoid it, you know? So I get on the phone with the person who recommended that I just kind of chill, and I let them know the situation, right? So I'm like, "Hey, they said that they're ready to go to trial right now, if I want to, or I can take this guilty plea of this, and that, you know what I'm saying? XYZ. But I really didn't feel like I did anything wrong." Oh, gotta backtrack real quick. Before I get on the phone, as I'm listening to the officer give me this guilty plea deal, because keep in mind, she's giving me this guilty plea deal before the judge or anybody has talked about whether or not I was smoking, whether or not the flower was open, how much I was actually traveling with, whether or not this was my first offense, whether or not I was a medical cannabis patient. None of those things were discussed before she came over with the plea deal and tried to get me to, go from there. So after she offers me that, I go, "Okay, well, do we really need to like do all this? Because, I'm a medical cannabis patient and, in my county." And she was like, "Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. If you are this, and that, like if you have cannabis in your car and it's not in your trunk, then that's that." So going off of her tone, it seems like they were ready to prosecute me based off of that statute alone. Point blank, period.
Yeah.
So in my head, like I was like, "Man, maybe I think I should take it." I get on the phone with dude. He's like, Yeah, you know what? Just take it. It's not going to go on your record. You know what I'm saying? As long as you just keep your head down for the next 3 months, it'll be all good. And then we can get it expunged later. And then I had an exclamation point over my head. I was like, expunged? Wait a second. What do you mean expunged? You said it's not going on my record. So this was a whole new layer that I learned about, dog. Oh, also, I didn't understand what court supervision was until after I got out of court, but I'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Fucking roller coaster, dude.
Yeah. So I'm thinking expunged, like, okay, I guess, sure. So I go back in there and prosecution walks right up. She's bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. She is, all right, so you know what you like to do? And I just pause for a second because I didn't want to give it to her right away. I'm like, yeah, I guess we could do that, you know? And she was like, okay, all right, so we're gonna go over here and you're gonna sign this paper that waives your right to a jury, and we're gonna we're gonna get you in front of the judge, and we're gonna say this, and then you're gonna have that fine, and they're gonna be on your way. Literally didn't explain what court supervision was or anything like that. So I go up to the judge. She goes, you know, judge, we talked about it. He's a medical cannabis patient. He understands, you know, that it needs to be in his trunk, XYZ. So we offered him this. He likes to do that. That's fine with you. Judge is like, all right, cool, boom. And I was like, I'd like to state. Attorney goes, he understands that he can't be smoking and his cannabis flower shouldn't be open yet. Da, 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 da. And I was like, I'd like to state for the record that I was not smoking and my flower was not open. Yeah, I didn't say anything else. I just stared at the judge. And she was like, all right, cool, boom. Did that. And then that was that. She handed me, I don't think she even handed me anything. She was like, all right, you can go over to the county clerk and handle this, you know? She was like, as long as you pay the $535 by June 10th and you don't have any other offenses, this won't appear on your record. You know, this won't appear as a conviction on your record. So I'm like, all right, seems easy enough. I go over to the county clerk. She's like, okay, cool. So you have until June 10th to pay off the $535. You can do that by mail, by this, and that. I was like, oh no, I'm trying to pay that today. She was like, oh, are you sure? Because you know that you can stretch this out over XYZ. I'm like, no, I want to pay that right now. Where do I go to pay that right now? She was like, oh, okay, well, yeah, you can do it right here. She had the little keypad right there. And she's typing in the keypad and she was like, I don't know if it was like a processing thing or something that she just like said off rip without even thinking about it. She was like, yeah, that's a lot of money. And I was like, loud enough for the judge to hear, I was like, yeah, I agree.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I paid that shit. Thankfully, by the grace of God, I was able to do that because a lot of people, you know, I realized that that's not a feasible reality for some people in this country. And I walked out of there, and that was that. And it wasn't until, you know what I'm saying, I got in the car and I really looked up what court supervision meant. And like, I'm basically on like some kind of semi probation period for simple possession, which is crazy. And not only am I now officially on this period, at the end of this, I will have been on a probational period for cannabis possession for 5 or 6 months, which is fucking crazy, if you ask me.
Right. An illegal state.
So yeah. After that, you know, sat in the car for a while. I took my picture. I made my story right then and there. Bro, I was gonna set up my tripod like right outside the courthouse and like give my story and like tell it right then and there. But like, A, I was kind of rushing out the door, and B, something in me was like, man, I don't know if people want to see like this in-depth detail, yada da da da. So I'm gonna go there. And I'm gonna make do whatever I make out of it. So I did that, but. Man, I wish I would have brought my tripod and like really gotten into it right then and there.
That would have been cool. That would have been cool. But that all happened, obviously, the court part of it. That's crazy. That's a lot for one day. You were just, and they
It,
were just
yeah.
like zooming you around this building, like, oh, go over here. And like, were you changing courtrooms and shit?
Oh no, it all happened in one little room. It happened in one
Okay.
little lobby. And yeah, the prosecution was the one that was zipping between the judge and the police. And I'm thinking, like, now another thing that I'm thinking back on is like, okay, let's say we took this to trial. How are y'all going to corroborate any of the details without the officer here?
Or just like replicating it. Like, smell is so subjective.
Yeah, I'm
You
sorry.
know
Give
what
me
I
one
mean?
second, man.
Yeah, no problem.
You are really.
All right, we're back on.
So, yeah, it happened relatively quickly outside of the waiting period, you know, when I was waiting for all the other people to get processed, but it happened extremely quickly. Like, I'm thinking back on this now. Like, how are y'all going to replicate this? How are you going to corroborate the details without the officer here? What was y'all going to say? Was y'all really not going to give a fuck about whether or not this was my first offense, whether or not I was a patient, how much flour I had on me? Y'all could have just threw the whole book at me and just called it a day.
Right. And again, I just want to dwell on the fact, like, how are they going to replicate it? Like, are they be like, all right, Your Honor, we're going to have him pull his vehicle in here, and we're going to have him put that container in his center console. And then we're going to have you or the jury, whoever you got to prove it to, sit in his car or go up to his car and see, like, how do you or how are you going to replicate that? You know? I mean, there are
It's
with like crimes where you actually hurt somebody, there's something where you like do like ballistics or something like that, so you can prove a crime. You don't have to replicate that. Yeah,
that's
it's
what
such.
that's so interesting because I remember the judge had kept saying to somebody, yeah, well, this is a class A misdemeanor, so this is a class A misdemeanor, so that's all that they were looking at. So if this
Yeah.
was a quote unquote class A misdemeanor and it needed to be handled by trial or whatsoever, I would think that a trial, at least a jury would need to be present or the officer would need to be present.
Right.
But no,
Right.
they just came back with that cute little plea deal and probation period.
So yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, unless you have a different idea of where you'd like to go next, I'm curious. Like you said, you basically have the charge, but now you're going to have to go through an expungement process under after while being under court supervision. Is that kind of a natural next step in the story?
Yeah, so I think I have to wait until I actually am in the clear. So it'll be June 20th when I'm officially in the clear from this charge.
Fitting.
Yeah. And from there, I think that how it was explained to me is that it won't show up on my record. But how it was also explained to me is that if a judge wanted to pull this up, if I got pulled over later down the line, or if I got an offense later down the line, they would be able to see that and reference that and cite me for whatever based off of that.
Right.
So the expungement is so that doesn't happen. But that wasn't explained to me. Shout out to Logan Local.
Yeah, dude, shout out to Logan Local. I love that guy.
So yeah, I'm gonna have to go through an expungement process once that's through. And I'm not necessarily familiar with the expungement process. This is going to be a great opportunity for me to learn, though. And yeah, I've just looked at this as a learning opportunity in totality. Because like I said, I had no experience with the judicial system. I now know how, at the very least, DuPage County government sees stoners. Okay, and the federal government, for lack of better words. And I want to just help people avoid that because that is so possible for anybody. I mean, keep it a bean. It was a driving while black that turned into this, you know what I'm saying? But there's no reason that it can't happen to absolutely anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just wanted
I'm
to
sure they saw
give
the no plates on the car and were very curious.
Right. Well, and they saw the car too. You said it was new, right?
I
That's how
mean,
it
relatively
goes.
new. It's a fucking 2017.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is what I've heard, especially in the southern states that will or southern part of the states. So there's different, as lawyers have described it to me, there are like different jurisdictions all over the state of Illinois. And that's kind of part of the problem here. Because depending on where you get pulled over, you could face a drastically different result. I don't know if you remember, but like for a while, people were really excited because there were some rulings at a local level that said that odor couldn't be used as a reason to search a vehicle or to do what they did to you. But those were local rulings. So that meant if you were pulled over in that county, then that's the case. But if you got pulled over in the wrong county, like you did, you still have to deal with that, right? So, and
Yeah,
that's why we're waiting on this Supreme Court case, ultimately.
I've heard so many people tell me like, oh yeah, I've literally had so many problems in that exact county or, in the surrounding counties, obviously, but this would not happen in Cook County. You know what I'm saying? People are telling me like, what, man, I've gotten caught with this amount, and they were just like, man, take that shit home in Cook County. You know what I'm saying? But the difference in proximity within a legal state, quote unquote legal state, makes a difference. Makes an extreme difference.
Well, just in case people are in the same spot as you, I don't know exactly where to start on this, but I'm just going to share what I do know because I recently sat down with Canna Equity Illinois. And if you go to their link tree, which I'll put in the podcast description, the very bottom links that they have are need help with expungement, watch our How to Expunge 2020 webinar. So I hope that helps to anybody that's listening right now. And like I say, I've never heard of or had to go through that process, so I can't speak for their services, but they do seem like they're coming from a good place, and they've been on this podcast several times, so maybe a good place to start at least.
Yeah, definitely. No, they reached out for sure because I was, obviously I'm gonna, advocate for people to know about this going forward. And there's a lot of people who have come out of the woodwork that want to be involved with that. So yeah.
Well, I've got a few different questions for you, but I wanted to give you the space if there's still more to this. I've been writing down questions because I didn't want to interrupt the story, but like if
For
there's still
sure.
more bases to cover, I wanted to give you the space.
Yeah, I think that's about it, man, honestly. As far as I can remember, I talked as
Sure.
in-depth as I could.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, again, thank you for joining me. And here's the part where you might get frustrated and others might get frustrated too. It's crazy to think I've talked to lawyers. And so when cannabis was legalized medically in 2014, I think products originally started showing up in the stores around 2015. So you might have been rolling around with some legal weed in 2015. But the crazy part is, and you can see this, folks, on episode 47 of my podcast, which is the Supreme Court debate on odor. They bring up the idea that the medical cannabis law, as it was written, has no mention of odor at all. And so that means that technically, for a brief period of time, you could roll around and it could smell, and they couldn't use that as a reason to get in your car, I guess, hypothetically speaking. I also wanted to add that cannabis was decriminalized in 2016 by then Governor Bruce Rauner. And as attorneys have told me, the exact situation you could just got caught in would have been a $200 ticket, and you would have been on your way between 2016 and 2020, because you see, the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act, the law that legalized cannabis, is what added this as a Class A misdemeanor. That's where it began. And so,
What?
absolutely, yeah. So before 2020, this was not an issue. I mean, at least that would have stood up in law and went this far. And that's why they were just off the book, Class A misdemeanor, Class A misdemeanor, because that's what you did. I mean, it was that. And I want to just play a small clip from an attorney, because I think that sometimes it's powerful for people to not hear it from just me, the person that's been smoking a joint. Not that that lessens what I've said, but I just want to give it from a licensed perspective, right? So
Yeah.
here we go.
Hell yeah.
Right.
But the problem is, we're in a state where we say it's legal. We say we're progressive on cannabis, but we still have more ways now to get in trouble, criminal trouble for cannabis than we did before 2020.
So the tightrope, it's hard to do the dance or hard to stay on the tightrope, whichever, analogy we want to use. Definitely, in many cases, it's hard, and we can talk about that. But in some cases, my favorite one that we'll be talking about today, it's arguably impossible.
Right.
And I'm talking about
Illinois Supreme Court will soon decide whether the smell of pot is enough reason for police to search a car.
Even if, say, the driver were to say, yeah, it's right here. I have the cannabis in this old prescription pill container, which is child resistant. It's got the child resistant top. It's sealed. Is that not good enough? If the officer says, I can smell it, the officer can then effectuate an arrest, put the person in handcuffs, take them to jail, make them post bond because they've committed a Class A misdemeanor punishable by a year in jail. So the point of this whole rant that I'm going on is that we have a law in Illinois that says that you can possess and transport cannabis in a vehicle, but only if it can't be smelled. I think it's just a skeleton key for probable cause. It's just a probable cause generator for police. And before you accuse me of being conspiratorial or, you know, being a whack job who thinks that this is all some dark magic to give police probable cause, I've seen it. I've represented people and taken their cases through the court system who got charged with more serious crimes only because the police said that they smelled cannabis. And not because the police said you have illegal cannabis.
Right.
Or not because you have too much cannabis. Or not because you're high on cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Smell it, and that's it. So that's where we're at right now in Illinois.
Yeah.
And I hope it changes. Just.
Woo!
So, okay. And that's actually a sneak peek at my new mini doc that's going to come out on the failures of cannabis legalization. So.
Ooh, man, let me just very quickly laud the work that you've been doing, bro. You have been one of my favorite investigative journalists in this shit, in the region, and in the industry, period. Thank you for doing what the fuck you do.
Thank you.
I want to go on to say that I said that this was like a wake-up call to how the federal government sees stoners, you know what I'm saying, generally, medical cannabis or not. It was also a wake-up call to how the judicial system was designed and how the police system is designed. And it's like, you know, you hear these like insane things all the time, like, you know, the government is going to make more money off of you in prison than you are free. And the proof is kind of in the pudding. Like, that courtroom was designed for me to go to jail that day.
Those ads you fucking got, bro. Think about the whole thing.
It's like,
it's a business.
Everything is a business. It's all about generating revenue. And it made me realize, bro, just the more people that they can lock up for whatever, for longer, the better off that they're going to be. They aren't really working to work with you. I didn't feel that I was innocent until proven guilty in that courtroom. Them motherfuckers looked at me like a criminal from the second I walked in the building. They didn't give a fuck about shit about... They didn't care if I talked. They would not have cared if I spoke when I went in. If I would have pled guilty, maybe they would have went, you know, right out the gate. Maybe they would have gave me some leniency or whatever. But because I went in and I said the very little bit that I did, they tried to shut me the fuck up. It was crazy. And like I said, yeah. I tried to have the legal barriers or whatever you want to call it to help set me up for success. I tried to be a law-abiding citizen as a medical cannabis patient. That shit do not matter. That shit does not matter.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree with you that being a medical patient adds strength to your argument. But as we were starting off with, if it's legal in this state, you shouldn't need a card to strengthen your argument. You know what I mean?
Why is it an argument?
Exactly. Why is it an argument?
We're in a legal state. How is this an argument? How is possessing something that I can go and buy from a store and pay taxes on and drive home with a receipt from a jailable offense?
Yeah.
Because it's in my seat versus my trunk. That's seriously what we're talking about. Like, if it has not been made perfectly clear, if you go to the dispensary and you pick up something, and you put it in anywhere other than the trunk in your car and you drive home in the wrong county, you can go to jail for up to a year. A year.
and realize that the containers are supposed to be odor-proof, but if you've ever been into a dispensary, it smells. And okay, are the products packaged at dispensaries or do they come prepackaged? They come
They come
prepackaged, right?
prepackaged.
Yeah. Which means, folks, that they are not in odor-proof containers.
How can we really like seal, like no pun intended, but seal up this odor proof plausibility? You know what I mean? Because if we're going to say that cannabis can be in a space, we have to acknowledge that cannabis is an odorous plant. It's insane. It's pretty nuts.
And it's important to make the point that while you can search up the term odor-proof container online and it will yield plenty of results that might do a great job, there's no such thing, as I've talked to several canine officers and lawyers about on the show, there's no such thing as a odor-proof container. And I've talked to people that do border work. If there were such a thing as an odor-proof container, they would not be using canines anymore because they would be ineffective. There is no such thing. They
Oh
try.
my gosh. I can't believe
I mean,
it's that
yeah,
simple.
it is that simple, right? I mean, the officers will tell you themselves, I'm not discounting the fact that there may be some honest officers out there, but the canine is used as a tool. And as the attorney said, especially odor, it's used as a tool, and this is the final thing, and I'm glad this didn't happen to you. It's used as a skeleton key to toss your vehicle, to get into your vehicle, and if they find anything else that might have been a problem because they've got a skeleton key to get in there, they then have the right to take your whole vehicle. So it's a when I said you had a nice car and stuff, they will pull over people with nice cars, or who they think meet the fit that they're looking for, in order to seize their property. It's a legal way to steal your property, and they have a financial incentive to do so. They literally auction off. You can see police auctions with nice vehicles all the time. And guess where they come from? Just people that were unfortunately caught at the wrong place at the wrong time.
It's crazy, man. It's really crazy.
Yeah. So folks, be careful out there, and just it's unfortunate that we can't really give anybody solid advice today, because even with you, when you asked me, like I gave you some advice, but I was like, this is really kind of fluid and there's not a solid answer to this. And I feel it's unfortunate that we can't really put a bow on this episode and be like, all right, folks, if you find yourself in this position, I mean, but can you share anything else before we go? Just any tips or pointers? Did I lose you?
Yeah, sorry, you're kind of breaking up. Yeah, let me turn off my Wi-Fi real quick. Okay, could you repeat that, my friend?
Yeah. So I know that we don't have many answers today, but I just wanted to give you some more space before we close. Is there any like advice you could impart for people that are going through the situation or might be about to go through the situation, because it still could happen any day now? Even if it's just like peace of mind, I don't know, any advice you can impart before we go, because this is crazy.
Yeah, no, now that I'm thinking about it, really the only advice that I can feasibly think of is if you're traveling with cannabis, it should probably go in your trunk. But as we've talked about, and as is the case for many vehicles, your trunk could be in the same cabin as you, meaning that even in your trunk, your car is probably going to smell like cannabis. So that being said, maybe we all just need to invest in more fragrances. You know what I mean? More fragrance covers. It's unfortunate that that's what it's come to at this point, but I can't really think of another feasible way out of this. Like,
Yeah.
that's it. Like, at least in my situation, like I said, my trunk is in the same cabin as my driving space. So if I have something that smells relatively. Oh, there's another thing. The lock boxes. I've heard that, they need a warrant to open any kind of lock container. And I do have some lock containers. And that's a good workaround for sure. That's a recommended thing. I wish I had my shit on me, but anything that has like a little combination lock on the box, or there's even bags with combination locks. That is, I've heard, a good way out of it. A lot of people have told me that there were a few searches and that, because they did the search illegally, the case gets thrown out. But me being a black man, I wasn't about to refuse a police shit. I was just trying to get on my way, So yeah, that's really where we're at.
Yeah.
Just
Well,
be aware of what can happen, you know what I'm saying? I guess, and better mentally arm yourself, because if I got pulled over because my car smelled like weed and they wanted to search it and they found it in the trunk, like, are they gonna believe that I didn't throw it back there? We're gonna have to hope so. But for now, I'm just gonna have to travel with a lockbox and hope that, me now having this thing semi on my record doesn't give them reason to press me any further for the next 3 months.
yeah. Well said. Well, I have one question that I realized I missed. I think it's an easy one, and then I've got a final little joke we can end on. That'll maybe be the at least we can end on a laugh, right?
Cool.
What kind of things you mentioned, like the ads would say, like you're going to jail and stuff like that, but did they like know it was a cannabis offense, or was it seen as
Hell
the
no.
targeted? Oh, okay.
Yeah, hell no. They just it class A misdemeanor. That's
That's
all
it.
anybody. That's all anybody knew. That's all
I didn't know if it
anybody
was like a
saw.
picture of like a guy with like a cigarette and a wife beater on, because like,
Hell
like a good dude in a trailer park or something.
yeah.
I don't know, but something stupid. Okay, so I my joke, and this is not actual advice to end on. My joke, and this is inspired by protesters from the University of Illinois that did Hash Wednesday back in the day. If people want to learn about that, go to colememo.com/history. What they did back in the day to smoke weed on the quad in like the 70s, 80s, and 90s openly, in front of the police and everything, was they gave everybody cigarettes. Some of them had weed in them, some of them had cigarettes in them. They gave everybody brownies. Some of them had weed in them, some of them didn't have anything in it. And it conf it, it, it flooded, and they made it so the police couldn't make sense of what was actually going on. And they just stopped. They just like, fuck it, we're gonna get ourselves in trouble for arresting somebody with a tobacco joint or something like that, right? So they like backed away. So my analogy, my joke, my joking advice for this issue is that hemp's legal right now, so maybe just like dangle a hemp nug on your center console, like a air freshener, you
Yeah.
know what I mean? Or just like leave a bunch of hemp in your car so that your car always smells like weed. Or get, I'm sure there's weed air fresheners. Just make everything smell like weed. Even when you don't have weed on you, even if you
Yeah.
don't smoke weed, people, if you're listening to this, make your car smell like weed.
Yeah, as an advocate.
Right. So that it's just like something that there's like, we can't fucking deal with this. I'm
You know what's
joking
so
again,
funny?
but.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, I was definitely thinking, maybe I need to buy an emergency pack of cigarettes. So if I ever get pulled over, I just need to burn a bunch of cigarettes and not even smoke them and just be like, oh yeah, this is all cigarette smoke. Like, I love smoking cigarettes. You smell all this cigarette smoke? That's what I'm doing.
I will just say that I watched Cops for some reason, the show. I don't even know if it's still on the air, but I watched it as a young kid, and that was a move that people did. And they were like, oh, this guy just sparked up a cigarette as we're pulling him over. He's probably doing something that he doesn't want us to smell. This is a common thing.
Damn, they're
And so
on to me. They're
yeah.
after me, Lucky Charms.
Yeah. Well, okay, I had a really good time speaking with you today, and it's been too long. I'm looking forward to the next time we can connect. And last I saw, you were mentioning doing events, so maybe when you've got another event ready. I always love to have people on that are doing events, because I truly believe that that's what the community needs right now. And we talked about this before we went on air, but I guess I'm just pitching that out there as an idea, for a follow-up conversation. Maybe if you've got something cooked up or whenever, just hit me up and you can come back on the pod. So.
Definitely, definitely. Will do, man. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure as always. Like I said, you're doing phenomenal work for the community. Everybody, tell a friend. That's your homework today. Tell a friend to tune into the Cole Memo, because we know that you love the Cole Memo, but we need you to get somebody that doesn't love the Cole Memo to love the Cole Memo. That's your homework for today. Thank y'all for listening to my story.
Okay, thank you so much. And folks, I hope you found as much value in this conversation as I did. We'll see you in the next episode of the Cole Memo.
Take Peace care. Out.